yeah, there's got to be something wrong with the people there at Silsbee. They think so much of me, or I think they think so much of me. Nuts. Turn, if you would, to the book of John. I would like to thank the church for the invitation. I consider it a privilege to come and be with y'all. I was kidding, but not really, that during the lunch hour with Brother Larry, that with the quality of preachers he's had here so far, he must have just invited me out of pity. You know, felt sorry for me. But really, I do thank you, brother, for the invitation. And the church. I know there is a lot of work that's involved with this. It doesn't just all fall out of the sky. I know there's a lot of work with this. Accommodations are wonderful. Food is excellent. Before we begin in John chapter 5, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your mercies. And Lord, we thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that God Almighty became flesh. Lord, the mystery of godliness, that Jesus Christ in the flesh took upon himself sin that was not his own. He took it upon himself. And Lord, he did pay the value of it, Lord, in his own self. And Lord, at the hand of God Almighty, Lord, he paid for the sins of his people. He died, laid down his own life, took it up again. Lord, he resurrected the third day. Lord, I ask, Lord, again, as the brother prayed, Lord, that souls would be saved, that souls would be revived, and Lord, that sinners would know their sins and seek occasion, Lord, to repent, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us today, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 5, we've been preaching through the book of John. I'm going to hit this this thing so I don't run away with the horses, as they say here. So I've got a timer. When it goes off, you know I'm done. We've been preaching through John chapter 5 there at the church in Silsbee. And there's been a subject that has been pressing on my heart throughout this occasion. And really considering all the Gospels, much of the things that Jesus is talking about and much of the dialogue that he expresses, he's speaking to religiously unsaved people. Much of it is directly looking eyeball to eyeball to religiously unsaved people. We read in John chapter 5, verse 9, just such an occasion. Earlier in chapter 5, he healed a man who had been lame for 38 years. You would think if someone had an infirmity for 38 years, and now someone touches them and heals them, the religious elite would shout, "Glory to God, hallelujah." But instead, they accused him of violating the law, and they accused him of healing on the Sabbath day. What hardness of hearts. John chapter 5, verse 39, he's addressing these people, and he had been through the whole chapter just about. He says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." There's such a burden in this passage, such a burden that we could realize, children of God, of the religiously unsaved. Now I'm going to take an unofficial poll. And please raise your hand if you know someone personally that has made a profession of faith and along through time they just vanish, never to be seen again and never showing any evidence of being a child of God. Lift them up high so we can see. Look at your hands. Look at these hands. It's not an uncommon thing for someone to think that they have eternal life and that thinking lead them straight in a first-class ride to the gates of hell. That's not an uncommon thing. In fact, most people are in such an occasion. There was a poll taken back in 2019 that they said that the number of Americans had fallen from 73% to 65% of adult Americans claim to be children of God. Now, I can turn on my TV, or I could go to a gas station or attend some kind of sporting event and know that those statistics are an outright lie. I can know that. How can I know that? There's no evidence of life whatsoever. No evidence of life. Yeah. I work in a clinic setting, and every occasion that I have, 20 to 30 people a day, I investigate their claim to eternal life. And you know, most people, it's by a good moral standard. It's because they were baptized as a kid. It's because Uncle Bob was a preacher. It's because they come from a long line of religious people. It's every reason in the world that they think they have eternal life. And in their thinking, they are well undone and they are well religiously unsaved. There are very many hope-sos. There's one religion where they do the very best that they can, but they hope that they have eternal life. I hope I've done this, or I hope I've done that. I hope I have enough good works to make it on the other side. And well, that's a desperate condition to be in. In the passage before us today, we see a very basic outline. Brother Kelly before said he was a basic person. I don't consider myself an unbasic person. I'm glad for simple things in the Bible. In the very text, we have an outline. We have a problem. People think they have eternal life. Now, in saying this, again, Jesus was talking to religious people. So I'm not talking to the people way out there. There may be some people in this room that are religiously unsaved. And I'm not dumb enough to think that there's not. Okay? I pray to God that everyone here that has made a profession of faith, that it's an authentic thing. But from the very beginning, from the original 12, there was one that was a devil. Let's not deceive ourselves and what good thought or good memory or even place our faith in our faith rather than placing our faith in Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. Let's be honest about these things. First point is going to be, we have a problem. Second point is there's a command. Jesus told them, you think you have eternal life, that's a problem. Search the scriptures, that's a command. The third one there, the solution. They testify of me, he says, speaking of himself. They don't testify of Joey Noel. They testify of Jesus Christ. He's the answer. We're going to approach this subject, so you think you have eternal life. So you think you have eternal life. First, they thought they had eternal life. And what did these people in the text, what did they base their eternal life on? There's a lot of good cues in Scripture what they based their eternal life on. One, coming from the Apostle Paul, who was, it may very well be, he was in that crowd that they were talking to, that Jesus was talking to. Romans, if you would please, chapter 10. Look at this, if you would. Romans chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Romans 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, meaning that to that point they have not been. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Oh yeah, see that guy over there? He's so zealous. Oh, he's so zealous. Yeah, Paul's not denying their zeal. Zeal won't save you. If you think you're saved because you're zealous, you're as unsaved as you can be. Zeal will not save you, but not according to knowledge. Well, that's not book knowledge, as Brother Johnson was talking about earlier. That's a knowledge that is endued by the Holy Spirit himself. I mean, if you were to talk to the speakers and the pastor here, we're not the most wise and most noble people in this whole world, but thank God the Spirit of God has power to reveal certain things to us. We give him all the glory. For they, the Jews, zealous people to God, so they thought, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, look, and going about to establish their own righteousness, their own catalog of good works. If you think you, according to the scriptures, if you think you have eternal life because of your catalog of self-righteousness and good works, you need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God in that he is holy and we are not. He is righteous and we're sinners. He is complete in every way and we are born undone, dead in trespasses and sins. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So what is he saying? He's saying you think you have eternal life. Well, the Jews, they thought they had eternal life because they were righteous according to the law. Again, they condemned him for healing on the Sabbath. They called God a sinner for healing. Well, again, what was the Sabbath? It was a recognition. It was a time for the people to step back and admire the works of God. So rather than stepping back and admire the works of Jesus Christ, who was God, they called God a sinner. They called a liar. Well, how many of you people have ever told a sinner about the sovereignty of God and they call God, well, that's a hateful God. That's a sinful God, the God you preach. People are no different. What else? Knowledge. What is knowledge? He says, you think you have eternal life. Specifically, the law, John chapter 5 and verse 39, you think you have knowledge. They thought they had knowledge according to the law. They were trying to take the Lord Jesus Christ to school as far as the law goes. And he says, you have no knowledge whatsoever about what the law was intended to do. In John chapter 5 and verse 45, he says, do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. That law you think you're so well in, that you think you have eternal life in, that will be your very condemnation. Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 3, verse 20, that none are just according to the law. None. And Matthew, what else did they have confidence in? Their self-sufficiency, their self-righteousness, their knowledge in the law. In Matthew chapter 3, what else did they have their thinking of eternal life in? Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7. That's Malachi. Went too far back. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7. Let's see, chapter 3 and verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits or evidence meet or satisfactory, showing forth repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. So they thought, just by virtue of being a Jew and having lineage unto Abraham, that they had salvation and they were well in the sight of God. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So they thought they had the law, they were given the law, they were self-sufficient, they were self-righteous, and man, they were they had the lineage there. There's a lot of people that think, well, Papa was saved, and Mom and Dad are saved, and brother and sister saved, well, I'm just like them, I must be saved too. That, they thought they had eternal life. Yeah. Does not bring eternal life. There are many today that think they have eternal life. Matthew, if you're in Matthew still, turn to Matthew chapter 7. They fall right along with what Jesus was saying here in Matthew chapter 7. Oh, please, do not go without considering our own selves. It would be a wrong thing to say, you know what, the guy next to me needs to hear this message. We should make our calling and election sure. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. You see the progression here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, there's a lot of people. 65%, according to this poll of Americans, cry, Lord, Lord. Do I really believe that 65% of Americans are on their way to the kingdom and the presence of Jesus Christ in glory and shouting? I'd be crazy to think that. I'd be crazy to think that. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Not everybody that opens up their Bible. Not everybody that calls upon the prayers to the ceiling. Not everybody that does good deeds. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Well, what's that? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Oh, there's a lot of false prophets out there. They just massage people's egos and say, if you want this done or want that done, and never call anybody to repent. And in thy name have cast out devils. There are groups out there that they say that they can at a whim bind the devil. I wish they would hold him and give the rest of us a break for a little while. They just don't have that power. But they think they can do these things. And they have their assurances that they have eternal life. There's no assurance there. And in thy name done many wonderful works. You know, there's a lot of people that say that they go forth in Jesus' name. And they do some good things. You know, they pass out bottles of water, and they make sure the kids are clothed, and they make sure people don't go hungry and all that stuff. None of which will save a soul. None. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. As one brother said, never is never and always is always. God doesn't change as far as his relationship with his people. He has eternally made a covenant with himself. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So all that good stuff, even crying, Lord, and even doing good works, that's iniquity, it's abomination, that's sinfulness. Why? Because it's an establishment, just like the Jews, to establish their own righteousness rather than submit to the righteousness of God. But what's the command here? Many wonderful works. They teach and they say various things. What is the command? Jesus says in our text in John chapter 5, verse 39, he says, you think you have eternal life? He tells them, search the scriptures. What's the Bible say? You know, a lot of times we tangle ourselves up in arguments and different ways of thinking and stuff, because we go, well, I think this and I think that. No, what's the Bible saying? What I have to say is irrelevant. You know, I can change my mind. God's word does not change. What's the Bible saying? Search the scriptures. Examine, inquire, investigate. What does the Bible say? Well, that's an interesting thing. You know, people skip through the Old Testament, you know, because they don't understand it. It's boring and whatever. And they look for different things and parts of verses and words out of context and say, see, here's what I believe. I don't believe that you could come to a conclusion that Jesus died for everybody anywhere in the pictures of tabernacle sacrifices. You cannot come to that conclusion. You just can't. Search the scriptures. How do they describe what Christ must be? That's what Jesus is saying. Do they describe that the holiness of the priest would be satisfactory? Or do they describe that the priest must go through washings and cleansings and repetitious sacrifices and never do a sufficient job? That's the picture of the insufficiency of man, but also the picture of the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. What is the Bible? Well, the scriptures. How are they to be discerned? Or that it would be discerned in a spiritual way. Look, if you would, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, it blows my mind that children of God will go to people who are not children of God and try to discern from what they say what the Bible has to say. That doesn't make any sense. There's lots of subjects that if you came to me and asked me a question, I would say, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I have to look those words up to even know what you're talking about. Yeah. Don't go to people who are not spiritual for spiritual understanding. What's it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12? Let's begin reading there. Now, we who, children of God, redeemed, born of God, we have received not the spirit of the world, not the intelligence of the world, not the foolishness of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us, specifically knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Which things also we speak. Okay? So if someone doesn't speak the wonderful things of God, then they probably also don't know the wonderful things of God. Don't ask them things of wonderful things of God. They don't know. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. If you're here to hear my wisdom, you're in trouble. If you've congregated this weekend to hear from the Lord, boy, that's exciting, isn't it? But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And that's evident in the text in John chapter 5, throughout the entire chapter, but specifically in verses 39 on. That these natural men, these religiously unsaved natural men, had no idea what Jesus, the Son of God, was talking about. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them. Jesus said, search the scriptures. Well, they were spiritually dead. They were not discerning what Christ and who Christ must be, because they are spiritually discerned. The scriptures are spiritually discerned. People who are not saved, who are not spiritual, will not and cannot appropriately search the scriptures. Well, you're some kind of egomaniac, aren't you, Brother Joe? No, I'm not. I thank God that he, as Jesus thanked the Father, that he held these things back from the wise and the noble, and he revealed it unto babes and dimwits such as me. I'm thankful for that. I don't know how y'all feel about it. I'm thankful about that. But this is the evidence of these people, as Paul said, is you just listen to them. Their searching of the scriptures and their understanding of the scriptures takes them away from godliness, takes them away from the word of God. It perverts the word of God, takes them away from the church of the living God, and takes them ultimately to the root of their own heart, which leads to sinfulness. Just listen to them. They'll permit themselves to do as they please. The Jews came to the conclusion in our text that their works, according to the law, were superior to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where a lot of people, again, are today. Their works are superior. You know how we know that? Well, if you tell them to repent, I don't need to repent. I'm good. I'm fine. And they'll say something so irreverent like, JC and I are cool. You ever heard anybody say that? JC and I are cool. Oh, it's so irreverent to the Son of God. Listen to them. Listen to them. They'll tell you what their conclusions are. And then after you've heard what they have to say, tell them to repent. Amen. But don't go to unsaved people, unspiritual people for discernment of scriptures. So search the scriptures, he says. You have the problem, they think they have eternal life. Here's the command, search the scriptures. Verse 40, look, the scriptures are given, verse 40, that the sinners, as Brother Keller was preaching, that the sinners would be drawn to Christ, that they would have life. That's the intention of the Word of God. God manifested His Word so that sinners would know who God is and the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man and turn to Christ for refuge. That's the purpose of the Word of God. And ye, searching the Scriptures, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. You search the Scriptures, you won't come to me, you're sufficient in yourselves. Consider what Paul told the Galatians, though, if you would, in Galatians chapter 3. Oh, it's so wonderful that the Lord is, how wonderful He is to His people. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Listen to this. The Lord is talking about searching the Scriptures. Look what Paul has to say about it. Wherefore, Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. That's the intent of the Word of God, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith, which is the gift of God, not of works that any man should boast. The Scriptures, they were looking to themselves. They had no need for Christ. They sought only to condemn Christ. And verse 41 of our text, I receive, he says, Jesus, John chapter 5, verse 41, I receive not honor from men. The natural man only honors himself in Scripture. And I speak to you because I was a religiously unsaved person for quite a while. I'm not speaking from as someone who does not know what it means to be religiously unsaved. I had boxes checked, see. The natural man, though, honors himself in Scriptures. You look at some of the testimony of Paul, he honored himself in Scriptures until he saw that, wow, he was coveting his own righteousness there in Romans chapter 7. And that's where the Jews were. The Jews. In verse 42, he says, but I know you. As on a side note, Jesus knows the reprobate. He knows who he died for and who he didn't. You know, you might think I'm a dummy, and I am, but Jesus is no dummy. He knows exactly who he died for, was going to die for, and he knows who he didn't, wasn't going to die for. He says, I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. They don't have the love of God because they don't have the Spirit of God, you see. And in the command, he says that you're to search the Scriptures. Well, someone who doesn't have the love of God, doesn't have the Spirit of God, doesn't have understanding of Christ in the Scriptures, well, guess what? They're not saved. That's why he said, you think you have eternal life. Verses 43 and 44, they believed, they honored, and they received men, but do not believe, honor, or receive the Lord Jesus Christ whatsoever. Look at this. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Again, there's a lot of people that have a big name and they got a big ministry and they got a big following. But I wonder how many people would be in their following if they accidentally start preaching truth. You know, if the Lord were happening to save one of these men, I wonder how many people would still congregate by the thousands untold. Not many, I would suppose. But if it were the Lord's will, he would save thousands, and I know that he could, because he has. And that's his business. Verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Again, if y'all are here to be so impressed by Joey Newell or Randy Johnson or Jimmy Nelson or Robert Keller, boy, there's some disappointment on your horizon. But if we have congregated here to admire the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that he could save such a sinner as me and use him for his glory. Now, we have much to glory in the Lord, don't we, children of God? But again, what he's getting at here is these people honor themselves according to the law, but they do not honor the Lord Jesus Christ. He's referring back to what he said in John chapter 5 and verse 36. He says, but I have greater witness than that of John. Well, John the Baptist had a pretty great witness. He was sent from God. But Jesus has better witness. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do shall bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So if you go back and look at John chapter 1, they were so willing to call John the Baptist the priest, the prophet, the Messiah, the Christ. But when Jesus comes on the scene, they reject him from the very first. There's no different today. No different today. You know, people, whenever I tell them in our community where I pastor, oh, that little place up there, oh, that little place, oh, y'all don't even have the grass wore out. What are y'all doing up there? You need to get some kind of program going or something. You know, people want honor. They want prestige. They want to be part of something. They're not looking. They have no interest in Jesus Christ. None. Verse 45, the scriptures. Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. Now, earlier in John chapter 5, he says, the Father has appointed me to be the judge. But he says, don't think that I'll accuse you. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust, according to the law. You see, we've been going through the book of Genesis ever since I went over to Silsby, since they called me over there. And to my count, 146 messages in the book of Genesis. And we have not neglected to see the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen him as the creator, as El Shaddai, as Jehovah Jireh, as the Redeemer, as the great I Am. We have seen him in glorious ways along the way. How that only he could call a sinner from their sins. But all they saw, according to the law of Moses, was their good works and how they could check boxes. If you do that, you think you have eternal life. You're sorely mistaken. These works that they perform, you go read Revelation chapter 20. What do they judge? They're judged out of the books, but they're judged what? According to their works. Please, sinner, do not desire to be judged according to your works. Your works will not save you. In verses 46 and 47, Jesus declares himself to be the Son of God. Look at this, the Christ. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. Why? Because he's the fulfillment. That's why to be the Christ in a nutshell is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Everything that they were looking for and hoping for was the Christ, Jesus. For he wrote of me. Now it's interesting. Old Moses didn't just write down things he was thinking. He wrote as he was inspired of God. So Moses' information is kind of secondhand. You see, it went from God to Moses, and then he wrote it and dispersed it. But these words are directly coming from the mouth of God, and they reject it. They reject those things. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words, he said. Moses wrote, Jesus spoke, the great I Am. If you don't believe what Moses said, what Christ must be, you don't believe Christ, you will not come to him. You will not come to him. Well, what did Moses write? Moses wrote, there is none good. Moses wrote from the very beginning, since the fall, men were naked and afraid and on the run, unfit for the presence of God, and how that God himself must clothe them. And moving forward all the way, it is the sovereign grace of God that saves. You think you have eternal life? Search the scriptures. You can never find a place anywhere in the Old Testament that shows a way a man can save his own self from sin. Again, it goes back to verse 4. You will not come to me that you might believe. Why? Because they had no spiritual understanding of the scriptures. Here's the solution. He says, they are they that testify of me, a testimony, a witness, an affirmation of what has been said or heard. In Hebrews chapter 1, this testimony, look at this if you would please. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, he revealed himself in the scriptures by the testimony of sinful men, but God breathed unto them. He gave his word unto them. He has always had a witness, always. From the beginning, there's been a witness of the sovereignty of God in saving sinners from their sins. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Before it was God breathed, now it's God spoke. You see, directly to here to these people. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. So the Creator, God, he spake these things. Again, believing sovereign grace won't save you. There's a lot of people that believe sovereign grace. They're as unsaved as they could be. So just because you agree with it doesn't mean you trust in Christ for the salvation of your soul. That's just another box that people can check, you see. No, do we understand perfectly? I don't understand perfectly. In fact, I'm going to talk about that tomorrow, how imperfectly I do understand. But a sinner saved by grace will minimally know that they are a sinner. And then Jesus Christ himself took their place and the wrath that they deserved, and he made it, he reconciled them unto God. He saved them from their sins. They will know that. The solution. How simple. How simple in verse 40. He says, you will not come to me that you might have life. So what's the solution? Sinner, come to the Lord Jesus Christ that you might have life. That's the solution. Jesus says it right there. Search the scriptures. They testify of him. Come to him that you have life. Well, what that means is you got to leave yourself. You got to leave ability. You got to leave intelligence. You got to leave your works. You got to leave bloodline. You got to leave everything else. You, as one brother said multiple times, you got to risk it all. You got to risk it all and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, no man can do that except the Father draw him. I understand that. I understand that. But, you know, the day that the Lord saved me, I sure wanted to. I sure wanted to abandon myself. I was agreeing with God about what an awful sinner I was. I was as if I was running out of a building on fire, fleeing for refuge under Christ. It was a very, I'll say, pleasurable thing to know that Christ himself permits sinners to come unto him. Again, I know that no man will except they're drawn. But know that sinners can come unto Jesus Christ for refuge. Coming to Christ will bring life. Not coming to Christ will only lead to death. Only death. Isn't this the cause and the purpose of the book of John? It sure is. Look, turn over there. We've read this at Silky many times. John chapter 20. This is the whole purpose. If you were to, in John's writings, he's very careful to tell the reader the purpose of his writings somewhere in one of his books. So if you read in Revelation, it's the first 8 verses. He'll tell you chapter 1. He'll tell you the exact meaning there. And in John chapter 20, he tells us the meaning of the gospel account according to John. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. John chapter 5 verse 39, where he tells these people to search the scriptures, the testimony of Christ. This is written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing ye might have life through his name. What a loving, wondrous God we serve. Again, much of the gospel accounts is Jesus talking to sinners, talking to people that are religiously unsaved. And here we have an occasion, another occasion, to tell sinners to repent and flee to Christ for refuge. That's the solution. Not works, not religion or checking boxes, not passing off bottles of water, not baptism, not being related to this man or that man or me or whoever, but believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's the solution. That's the only solution. Good deeds, living right, being a good person, or even saying, I'm way better than that guy, that won't save you. There's an occasion in Luke chapter 8 where that happens. There's a guy that stands up. Man, he's proud to pray. He's got all the boxes checked. But Jesus said that poor unworthy slob in the back that repented and trusted in him, that man went down to his house justified. The other's burning in hell right now. Tell me how good his works did him. The solution is not, let me tell you, the solution is not interpretive religion. What do I mean by that? Seeking out your own way, your own path. Oh, I don't need that church garbage. I can search the scriptures on my own and come up with my own path. Well, the fact that it hasn't led you to the Lord's assembly, that's proof that you can't study on your own and come to right answers, you see. It includes also being very much involved in personal study. I know a lot of people that study much. And just like these Pharisees in John chapter 5, they have no understanding. They think they have eternal life, but they're lost. They're unsaved. They're undone. Side note, I agree with Brother Keller about how there's really 3 groups of people. So if you believe what he said, then you and Brother Keller and myself, we're all right then. So calling the Lord, Lord. Saying, Lord, Lord. There's many people, as we read earlier in Matthew chapter 7, just because you say, Lord, Lord, just because you pray 3 times before you eat every day, Just because you put on a good face in public, that doesn't mean you're saved. Many people do that. There's only one solution. There's a problem. Everybody thinks they have eternal life. Cain thought he had eternal life because he could grow vegetables real well. That's not a new thing, y'all. Don't think that just because you're religious that you're saved. No, you must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's only one solution. The Lord Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures. Not according to, again, how we interpret the scriptures, but according to how Christ is manifested in the scriptures. Amen. If one is to have life, they must come to Christ. You know, it's all mixed up. If someone were to take the modern theology and apply that to the tabernacle, instead of the priest going through all the sacrifice and all that stuff and going into the most holy place on the Day of Atonement, he would in fact go to the outside of the court, hold it up and say, "Oh, you people of Israel, who is willing to accept this sacrifice?" You don't find that anywhere in the Bible. No, that sacrifice was between the priest and God on behalf of the people. That's what Jesus did. He offered himself a sacrifice on behalf of the people to God. Acceptable to God. They had the scriptures. These Jews, they had the scriptures. I mean, it's been in the time past where the scriptures weren't readily available. But who in this room does not have access to the scriptures? Most of us have access right in our laps, don't we? These people had the scriptures, and shame on me, these people had scriptures memorized far better than I do. Did that save them? No. They searched the scriptures. They did. These scribes and these Pharisees, if there was ever a problem, they would call them, because these people were experts in the law. They were lawyers. Experts in the law. That didn't save them. There was even a Samaritan woman. That they were distasteful to the Jews, and she knew about Christ. She was as unsaved as she could be until the Lord manifested or showed himself to her. Just having some acquaintance or knowledge of who Christ must be in the scriptures, that won't save you. They would not come. They had no need. They had no need. Remember, they were religious. Right? They were religious. They didn't have a need. They knew the law. They were self-righteous. They didn't have a need. They were there accusing Jesus. Yeah. He was the one on trial in their minds. How dare you violate the law? Again, rather than appreciating the works of God. There's one solution. You think you have eternal life? You want to know you have eternal life? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Brother Keller said that earlier today. There's only one way to the Father, and that's Jesus Christ. John 14:6. Sinner, do you think you have eternal life? Do you think you have eternal life? Search the scriptures and see the Lord Jesus Christ. See your own inability. See your own sinfulness. See his holiness and his finished work. Again, that man in Luke 18, that poor unworthy slob. My God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Merciful. There's occasion in the Old Testament where the prophet tells the people of Israel to repent. And they say, why do we have need to repent? What did we ever do? They were involved in harlotries and witchcraft, and all types of immorality. Why do we need to repent? That's the religiously unsaved. Why would I need to repent? I'm okay. You know, these people that say that they're saved and they're not. They're like that old pig that rolls around in the mire, aren't they? They're like that dog that returns to his vomit. Children of God, that ought not be so with us. Sinner, have you no need? Is Christ not worthy? He says, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Well, they didn't come to him because they didn't feel like he was a worthy Savior. They expected something bigger and better, they thought. Have you no need? Is Christ not good enough to come to trust in, to believe? Can he not save his people from their sins? Again, I wasn't born a saved person. I know from personal experience that self is awful hard to turn from. That's the kicker. We believe in ourselves that we have something to offer. When in fact, Christ, according to the scriptures, we have nothing to offer. That's why we would come to him. You know, I work in healthcare. It's pretty rare that somebody comes to me and they don't have some kind of problem. They come to me hoping that I'll help them with that problem. Yeah. Well, unless you identify you got a problem and you can't help yourself, there's no need to flee to Christ. I would pray to God that He would press that need upon you, that you would not have a moment's rest. If you've been playing a game, I don't know how long, if there's anybody in here that's been playing a game of religion, and they're religiously unsaved, I by the word of God, I tell you to repent, every one of you, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He's the only solution. Child of God, praise the Lord. He's revealed these things to us. Again, I mean, it's embarrassing how little compared to what these people knew just intellectually about Scripture. Again, they didn't have any spiritual knowledge, but these people committed their lives to learning the Old Testament, the Word of God. But I thank God that He has revealed these things to babes, to nitwits, to old, you know, country farm boys that are really an embarrassment to civilization. You know, I thank God that He is pleased to save sinners such as myself. I thank God that many people who spend their lives being scholars of the Bible, that while they have all this study, that the Lord is pleased to reveal these things to us. The Spirit of God, you know, He reveals. You know, there are secrets, and God does reveal secrets, specifically the mystery of godliness. Children of God, having been acquainted with God, the Lord Jesus Christ, through Scriptures, may we be loving and obedient. I cannot overemphasize that Jesus, in the majority of His sayings, He's speaking to sinners. And many of these people would continue on as reprobate, not believing, and they're burning in hell right now. But didn't He show compassion? Didn't He show long-sufferingness toward them? He didn't just say, get out of here, you reprobate. He talked with them. And I know that there's a day of judgment coming, but I see a principle there. That as one brother has already said, I shouldn't think so highly of myself that I'm not accessible to sinners, because Jesus certainly was. Yeah. How loving and obedient, how merciful and gracious. Amen. Children of God, we ought to be godly and God-honoring, following His pattern, to tell sinners to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to Him that they might have life. May the Lord help us all. Again, I speak to the religiously unsaved in this room or on the internet or whatever. Anything that you put your trust in other than Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection on your behalf, is a false hope. Do not check boxes. Flee unto Christ for refuge and be saved. May the Lord bless. Brother Larry.